deals until now, we dealt with the problem of determining the Jewishness of immigrants who come and claim they're Jewish. What are the various halachic categories by which we can determine those, which are acceptable, which are not, which create doubt, even though it doesn't give any such halacha, of course, but we just wanted to lay before us the issue and what could be the possible directions we could take in order to alleviate the situation. This particular essay deals with people who are definitely not Jewish. And they, what are the various halachic categories by which we can determine those, which are acceptable, which are not, which create doubt, even though it doesn't give any such halacha, of course, but we just wanted to lay before us the issue and what could be the possible directions we could take in order to alleviate the situation. This particular essay deals with people who are definitely not Jewish. And they are, how did they get to Israel? Because of mixed marriages. I mean, if I'm the Haraini Gambus, you know, the Haranamais, I mean, it's a deal with Israel. But he's particularly concerned, understandably, with people who came from mixed marriages, while halachically not Jewish because the mother was not, and they think they identified. And, or spouses of Jews who are not Jewish, okay. And with Alamaisi, the reason what evokes the sympathy is, I mean, they're going through the hardship of being Jewish. They suffered the persecution because they're married to a Jew. They come to Israel and suffer all the difficulties of rehabilitation. And here they're told, you're not accepted, right? So that really is the source of the problem. And the first segment that we're going to do this morning deals more or less with the religious philosophical aspect before it gets down to the nitty-gritty of the halacha. And you'll see how we present it. That there are two tracks in relationship to conversion. Do we take it very, like in every legal problem, there is a strict interpretation and there is a loose interpretation. And in halacha, historically we find that in spite of the claims of rigidity in the yeshiva world today, there were different trends in Jewish history at different times, but certain issues were dealt with more leniently than others. First of all, this has been forgotten altogether. But the classical example is the problem of Aguna, in which we find that historically most of the Poskim, going all the way back to the Gemara, have always tended to accept a lenient position because of the plight of the Aguna. We have found that the Chachomim made many takonos shloitinu delos b'nei lovin in order to facilitate that people should lend money to poor people, and they instituted takonos and so on to make it easier in many different ways and so on and so forth. And the question he is posing is this: does the present condition under which these technically non-Jewish people, come to Israel, either children of mixed marriages who are halachically not Jewish, or spouses of Jews who are not Jewish, do they warrant, which track do they warrant? What attitude should we take? And he's discussing in his introductory remarks the basic attitudes towards conversion that we find, and mixed marriage that we find in Jewish tradition, and the two possible tracks that we can take, and then he will go into his opinion, the way we should proceed. He is a member of one of the Butadim in Israel. None of these who write in this journal are the caliber of Jerome Auerbach or Yasha, you know what I mean? But they are all competent halachic scholars who man the various Bokedinim throughout Israel. I don't remember offhand whether Natanya or Maron Yisrael, but they are all competent Talmid HaChachamim. And what they do in these articles, they don't assume to give a psak halacha for all mankind. They are laying before us the problem, and of course they leave it to the chief rabbinate or to the accepted poskim to make the decision. This is for study purposes, for research purposes. They give you the makoros, the sources, and of course they project their opinion, but it's not a public psak halacha. He says, "Rivervals, Anoch, and the tens of thousands of strangers, Nei Amishpochas Amorobos Olamenu, they come from Russia. Hofren Lebaya Halchosis have turned a problem, a halachic problem, the heker in a, like you say, a panem, in a scope, Shedoros." In other words, it's not a new problem, a mixed marriage, and the issues of conversion that emanate from it is not a new problem, but never before has it been of such scope as it is today. A decision, a final halachic decision on a problem of this kind, Misura b'dei gedol hador. Obviously, the great poskim, the great scholars of the generation will have to make the ultimate decision. The ein sofek shehabonos haroshes, that the chief rabbinate, his dakeg haver, the noseh boses, will be involved a great deal with this issue. Vehi shetif sabinen, and they too will ultimately deliver some kind of general psak halacha. The machbir, parallel to this, choshev, it is valuable and important, shegam hatzibur. By the way, this particular writer has a flair for language, and the people who are only accustomed to traditional halachic writing, it was hard to find. I had to struggle myself. He uses all these new constructed Hebraic words that nobody uses, not even in Israel. I mean, maybe in the high literary circles. And he must be a young man. I remember when I started writing, I also used the dictionary and the Rajas. He has to talk very heavily to impress my reading. And I realized you may impress them, but they don't know what you're writing. So I think it's more important that they know what you're writing than to impress them. So I think it's a youthful weakness. Just parallel, Hoshu is important. That also that the community at large should also give its mind to understand the different sides of the issue here. Ashatamot al seder yomeinu zman ra, which is bound to stay on the agenda for a long time to come. Omnom bedoho achon. In the last generation, not the noise of Hagia, but often Knolli, by Chobot Kol Stoda. In general, the whole Indian of Geros has been discussed greatly for the past 100 years already. The post-Jews in Western Europe, with the assimilation in Germany in the 19th century, you find people, Hoffman, Hildesheim, and people like that, who wrote already were deeply, deeply involved. In this issue, you find many of their tshuvas deal with the problem of geros and mixed marriages. Afalpi kein, yesh error. There is a value larakis also to dodem amafinim yachem is by liyah hadosho to sort of focus, to centralize the issue on the present aliyah in Israel. Uminadion the ova. To separate this from past considerations. Yam Ostan Shittas and Svoros on this Takamosa, and we have to reconsider even such Piske Halacha, such decisions which were not accepted in the past. Asuyas Nistarav Ato may be necessary to be reconsidered now and to use them in addition to other issues, the Shas HaTachazor, in this moment. Tismit Leheta, like a component for Heta. Now, anybody who's familiar with Shalos and Tshuvos, probably these are Moshe's Tshuvos and things like that. Naturally, the questions that were asked, if you look at the Shalos and Tshuvos form, they don't ask the Kasha, when is the Zman of lighting candles on Friday? You pick up a Ruach from it. If you send a Shaila to a Moshe, people like that, then obviously it's the complexity that you cannot sell by opening up the Kitzur Shel Mora. He wouldn't publish a Tshuva that you can open up the Kitzur Shel Mora and find the answer, obviously. So these are complicated issues. And therefore they don't have simple precedent. What does it mean, complicated? A simple issue. Simple issue. You look, open up the Shulchan Aruch and you find it. But if it's complicated, it's not there. So it's a little bit like this, and it's a little bit like that, and it's a little bit like this. So how do you go?
It's just the Shulchan Aruch.
You know? It's not the 50 Shulchan Aruch, it's the original Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
But you have to have a composite answer. And if you see any Tshuva or Moshe, will tell you, A, this. But this is not enough to give a heter because it's only some people hold like this. But on the other hand, you could use this idea. So he's mitzaret. He pulls together this point A, point B, point C, and he says, given all this together, I can be matter the issue. But there's no simple answer. So he says, there may have been past opinions that were discarded by the majority, but today we have to revive them. That minority opinion, and at least use them as a sneer, as a branch, or as a component to a composite heter that we may have to give in order to solve the social problem. Well, I have for halacha shebide'evet lefisa lachatchila, and something that in the past were considered that the Abbot ex post facto, don't do it. But if it was done, I have to accept it. Maybe today some of these things you have to do lachatchila. Ein tzoch lomar, this is his apology. Don't think I'm writing to give a tzah. Shekol kavanosi lehislamit ba'almi. The purpose of my discourse is only for educational and learning purposes. I don't consider myself a posek that I give a psak for Klal Yisrael. When I want to present a working paper for people who are interested, want to learn the issue, to present the sources and let them judge what I have presented.
So what, for the layman should make a psak?
No. Just to understand what the issues are.
Then we can ask, what are you talking about?
Let me put it to you this way. I think there may be a little hidden agenda here as well. All people are human. It seems to be a villager. I mean, who disagrees with that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that simple. Because in the religious world particularly, I mean, we had an example recently that's going to an extreme, but even the yeshiva world that criticizes Hasidim, there is a certain element of this veneration where some people are supposed to be superhuman. They can't err, and they are totally objective, and they are not subject to human feelings and sensitivities. It's not so. It's not true. Everybody's human. The only one who's not human is a bonus lawyer. But everybody else is human. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. I know from personal experience. if you have a more knowledgeable audience, you work harder when you prepare.
I don't know how to prepare.
If you have a less knowledgeable audience, it's not only because you're afraid they won't understand what you say. There is a mental laxity. You can bring it. I mean, whatever you're going to say is new to themselves. So you don't really get into it. I'm not saying for either the hearts of the religious soul operate that way, when they have to give up shots, they're very serious. But they're also only human. And if somebody comes and asks the Shiloh, and he knows all that's done, and he tells the person, maybe it's like this, and I saw this person, and I saw the box, he's dealing with a Talmud Chacham, he knows what he's saying. So he'll think doubly hard. Alright? Doubly hard. This is human nature. And maybe he has a hidden agenda here. In other words, when there is a demand for a psalm, the response is more intense also. Okay? And what he is saying is, I'm presenting something here, and when there be a clamor, and the people will come and say, Rabbi Sai, is the problem. Yeah, but their house, but what are we going to do without the sociality? What are we going to do without society? And make them think a little harder. And there's no question about it, that the more serious the problem, the more serious are the people who have to solve it. It's as simple as that. It's not because of any chassaron in sincerity. This is human nature. If you will give me a problem which is hirchus lemishircha, that doesn't make much difference, well, that's my opinion. If somebody will come to me and ask something, a shaila, I have to know tonight what to do. You know, and it's a serious problem. You sit down, you spend the extra hour, and you go to the sources. You know what I mean? This is essentially, I think, what he's trying to do. He says, look, Rabbi Sai, I want to present to you an issue, and if the public will realize how serious the problem is, say to the person, Rabbi Sai, how do we solve that problem? Then there will be a quicker and more intense response to the issue. I'm just suggesting that as a possibility, why he uses that line, all right? He says, "Shtei gishos ikronus misdamdus biyachas labaya." There are two solutions, approaches, two major solutions or approaches possible in this respect. A, Allah, ein kisrof, there's no solution. What does it mean? Kol she'odo yecholem lasesu legaya es elo mitocha b'makabel b'makayim l'maisa torah b'tzibishayim. Those who can, we can convert, who we know are accepting Torah, and Mitzvah, and the Munna, 100% we accept for Gael, like we always do. That's the problem. Ki Gera Tzedek, Hamo Ulev, Shibachal Ados, like the wonderful Gera Tzedek, Ukala Zagia, in all the generations. Aval es rov for olim, the majority of the ones who come, she einam b'sheilem lekach, he has to use that expression, and he's right. I mean, this is not, this literature, this is not talok, you know what I mean? Alright. Who are not right for this, oleinu, could say einam b'chodem lekach, there are hundreds of words you could have used, not that poetic term b'sheilem. Oleinu lekach, we have to push them aside. Teach the guitar to Shia boys, leave it for Mashiach. But you don't have to worry about it. I do what the scriptures of the Halacha say. I am not mechuyev to run God's world. I'm only mechuyev to administer the Halacha, and the Halacha tells me that. That's all I do. Who sheyeshiv levov asabonim, levonim ala boesav, like the Novi says, he will fix the world. Oleinu lino kam b'shayle zu. We have to deal with this question, even this question, the fiat klal, according to the general principle, by the kavsha the rachmona lamelo. You don't have, the Gemara uses this by Chesbiyah HaMelech, the Gemara says he didn't want to get married. Why? He saw Baruch HaKodesh that his grandson would be a Roshe and bring an Avodah Zorah. So the Navi said to him, you don't administer God's secret. You have to follow the Aloha. The Aloha says the mitzvah poor who, you have to marry the children. What's going to happen in 3 generations? The world is mine, not yours. You don't run my world. All right? So he uses the same concept. I mean, I have to fix the whole world. Because I have to fix the whole world. I have to do the Aloha. And if God wants that we have a problematic world, let him fix the world. His world. I don't have to fix it. I have to do the Aloha. You can take this out of it. Ein onu mitzvah legadlas historia. The Nile's historia. We are not in charge of human history. Elo lifo behesem lipsika mukabela. We have to act in accordance with the accepted sovereign. Oleinu lahamin, we have to believe that the Shem Shonim mekabel Shema'an Yahav Kali Yahav Bezoyna. We believe that if God gives us life, He will give us Hanosa also. We hint to piss on this Asukum Shalahola. We have another problem with the immigrants. What do we do for them economically? It's a fantastic problem. So what do we say? God to tell them. It's not the push. We try to help them. There's a big UGA collection for them. You know what I mean? It's not that we rely on this and that either. We do something about it.
We do what we can.
But we do what we can. And the rest, God to tell. Okay? Cain, yeah, the home halachosi in the range of halacha, nisha hobalonos aliyah habroch hazor, one who brought us the blessed aliyah, yet number also becomes very useful, he will solve the halachic problems as well. That's one approach. Hagisha hashniya omeros, the second approach though, shegam shev al tasa b'mikrozeh haynamasa. By not doing anything, you're also doing something. This is the famous William James, always called William James, the forced option. He said religion is a forced option. What does it mean, a forced option? For instance, it rains outside. I have two options. I can either take an umbrella. I don't like to carry an umbrella. It's amusing. I don't have to carry it. It's amusing. So either I can take an umbrella and try to protect myself against the rain. Or I can say the heck with the umbrella, I get wet, but I don't like to carry the umbrella. I have two options. But that's not the only option I have. What's the third option? So I don't have to solve the problem. So William James says, but if you're going down the hill and all of a sudden your brakes give out, you have two options. Either you crash your car on the side somewhere, or you jump out. You don't have a third option. You can't stop the car. The car's going. He says, religion is a forced option. You can't stand and say, I'm not sure whether it's true or not true, so I'll stay home. No. Because if you don't do, you've already made a statement. I don't know whether I'm going to keep Shabbos or not, because I'm not sure about religion. So what are you going to do? You're not going to do. Now keep Shabbos. That's the Shabbat commitment. You don't keep the Chalosh out. It's a forced option. Religion is a forced option. So he says, his second approach is that if you don't do anything, it's a forced option. It's a forced option. You're making a statement that this aliyah is not going to be handled religiously. Okay? Thank you. I do have this, though that's not my problem. I'm not going to do what I should do in public. So, no, thank you very much. Anyway. So he says it's the fourth option. The people feel that you have to make some kind of a decision. And then he continues. Habayim Mahariva, the problem is intensified or made more sharper. Because the solution is not only ours. If the whole world would be sitting around and waiting for our Pesach Halacha, then you could say, sit and wait, and I'll make my decision. But the world doesn't wait for us. There is a big secular world in Israel, and we are a minority. And they're going to make their own decisions. In other words, if we don't solve the problem will solve itself by totally ignoring the halakhic process, and then it will be worse off. Okay? So he says, what's going to happen? The tenas hokin, from a legal point of view, chaverosis, sociology, או מנטלוס, אז פה תמיד מנטלוס. No friend, אלה, these strangers, הם אזרוח לכל דבר. These so-called foreigners or non-Jews become citizens for everything else. Hatzibayat mi'ausa misocha. The society will envelop them and absorb them anyway. V'lo'yiyya litnim no'an nisu'in osam itam, and they will not, the secular Jews, will not stop marrying them. So if they can't get their rabbi to marry them, they find other ways to marry them. The hechef yikua kea, and this will undermine whole Kanisurian akal, it will undermine the official law of marriage in Israel. Yishachid hapirut ba'am, it will widen the gap between the two communities. Vetufrat ha-medina min hadas, and the Medina will be further pulled away, separated from religion. Nimtzu shimhim lo yigeyehu, if they're not going to be converted, him omnom lo yinu nesapachas, the Gemara says, koshim derem nesuk esapachas, like the zapachas is superficial sarad, it'll be worse. Avahim yahafu behecha lemorosa memameres, like an infected, festering wound to soch ha-chevra Yisraelis in Jewish society, in Israeli society. Le'itui ha-tipul yesh mashmur rabbi. It's also timing of the problem is very important. Lo'idolme psichusam v'nechonosam, it is not comparable at the time of the beginning and the initial preparedness shel ha'olam l'kolet ba'ok nishon ha'memole l'mechnosam l'acha is diagnosed with oros v'oros. He says, it also makes a difference when we react. Whether we react as soon as they come, or we wait and react later. Because by then, if there's no krieger there, it'll be harder to respond to them. Ula'acha, after she'ishim utnuas viduas, when well-known personalities like Shoshana Aloni or the leftist organizations, yifchashu b'kalachas, will stir up the whole thing in the kefil, the chiyas hagiyo, the postponement of the conversion, alula is likely in kein lahachver, the open kritis abayu, will only intensify the problem as the problem progresses. Yesh al kein limtzei ato, al tidakon shetorah. Therefore, these people feel it is imperative to find, according to the ways of the Torah, pitronos, solutions, asher yitzamtzemu, that will shrink the yaktinu and will reduce es mamadeh habayo, the dimensions of the problem, for oifim mashmu'usi, in a meaningful way. And obviously this will be his position. Because for the first position he doesn't have to write a long answer. We know what the traditional attitude is, forget about it, doesn't it? We can close the book right now. So obviously he will try to make a position for the second position, namely, that we must try to find the solution, and how can we find the solution? Now he goes all the way back for historical precedent, and I always say that, you know, we complain about intermarriage today. Right? Intermarriage today, unfortunately, we know what it is. In America it's over 50% already. We don't feel it so much, of course, in our community. But if you go beyond, you don't have to go very far in 108th Street to see it. If you go out in the Kleine Stettler, in some smaller communities, it's 60-70%. I remember my first Stettler in Saratoga Springs, a small upstate community. Altogether, there were over 200 Jewish families in my day, you know, along with, I'm 40 years in the rabbinate, so I don't have to tell you, it goes back 40 years. We already had maybe 15%, 20 or 25, almost 30 families were intermarried. Then, that's the fall. Right? And today, forget about it. And there was still a strong Orthodox shul at the time and so on, which they don't have anymore. And if you go Midwest, I mean, normally 60-70%. So we complain about it. So I say, our boy said, what's new? The Golas bubble was 70 years. 70 years, not 2,000 years. 70 years. And if you read Ezra Nehemiah, how how much intermarriage had eaten into the Jewish community. In 70 years, 70. So how can we, why were we surprised that we have such a high intermarriage?
We have more liberty there than the force that we made in
Korea. Was forced, not intermarriage.
No, but the position, they couldn't get jobs, they couldn't do this.
You have it worse now with the colleges, high school, winter graders and everything.
That's what you say, but that's not the point. Nobody was forced. You could see from the whole reaction how Ezra Nehemiah talked to them and how they cried and then they're chemistry, we lived together amongst them. The Jews weren't that oppressed in Babylon and Persia at that time. Not at all. If they would be so oppressed, why is it that only such a small minority wanted to go back? Because they had a great time. Who went back?
The poor people, the
went back. Everybody, the large majority of Jews did very well in Babylon and Persia. That's why they stayed. Yes. Yes. Absolutely right. Not only that, but the Sephardic community doesn't accept Gael. Convert. And I think that has an historical reason. It's not because they're more Mahmud than the Ashkenazi. I mean, after all, the Rambam passes except Gerem, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Rambam is a maker in Gerem. And the Svad more passes according to the Rambam. The reason, I'm sure, why the Svad didn't accept, because the fanaticism of the Muslims was much greater in religion, you see today, than even the Christians. And they were pushing the trade that if they accept the Gerem, that there'd be pogroms with Haganim. Right? In other words, it was a great danger to the Jewish community to accept Kamra. That's why they said no Gerem, that's it. But then it became ingrained in the culture. I know from personal experience. I've had people come to me, rather people that belong to other Sephardic schools, and the rabbi wouldn't touch a girl, she's scared to. The people will kill him if he touches a girl. Right? It's become. Now, don't bother, it's only another 20 minutes or so. Thank you very much. So, that's a different story. But the Tkufa from Ezra, we see in Tanakh, really the first major issue. It wasn't the first major issue. We show later on an obscure passage in Shoftim, right in the beginning when the Jews came to Eretz Canaan, that was also a problem with the Moors. Strange enough, but look, not much fuss was made about it, and it seemed the problem sort of solved itself. But in Ezra, they took a very strong stand, and Ezra and Nehemiah were two charismatic, powerful figures in Jewish life, and they really attacked the problem. And therefore, we have a more dramatic description from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So he says, let's take a look what happened then, and what the attitudes were. Let's compare, he says, the truth of Ezra, Nehemiah, and our truth. Superficially, it's a strong comparison. At that time, there was a return to Zion. They did return to Zion. They came from a Golas where they intermarried. Today, a lot of people come from Golas where they intermarried. So, structurally, on the surface, there is a strong comparison. So, let's take a look there and analyze the factors, A, that caused the problem, B, what solutions Ezra and Nehemiah came up with, and C, whether they had relevancy to our situation today. Whether we can compare the source of the problem to Ezra's time, and whether we can compare the way they tackled the solution to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay?
They weren't coming from a Russia.
All right.
They were coming from a benevolent dictator.
Well, we'll see. He brings up all these different things. The Kudem Akazis before Olam Shavagola Liha Midat HaSisor. The basic concern is the purification. I hate to use the term, but we would say the ethnic cleansing. I hate to use the term because it's so brutally and cruelly applied, you know. But in a sense, we were always concerned with ethnic cleansing in a more spiritual sense, that we wanted to maintain the Taras HaMishpocha of the Jewish nation. HaChokas HaZoren, the removal of strangers, non-Jews, from the Nias Tishters HaYichut HaYehudi, and the avoidance of the erasure of the lines, the confusion of Jewish uniqueness. Zerubbabel v'Rosha Obos v'Nalim Roshimos Yachat. We find that Zerubbabel, one of the leaders of the return, and his elders, tried to maintain a book, Yichus book, on the Jewish tooth, on the family. And we know from the Gemara Asura Yuchsin, you know, the last parak in tradition, Asura Yuchsin Mebobel, how careful they attempted to clarify the position of all the families that came back. The Stuart Aruvas came Al Hagola, as Ezra Nehemia Lochem Holkoch. We find Ezra Nehemia fighting mixed marriages with all their strength. Ezra, then he quotes, and we can go through that quickly here, the Psukim. And what was the solution? The solution was that they must divorce, quote unquote, whatever that means. Because in Halacha there's no such thing as divorce a non-Jewish wife, because there's no condition in the first place. But whatever formally constitutes or emotionally or sociologically, whatever constitutes divorce under such circumstances, the solution was that they rid themselves of their foreign wives and the foreign children. Lecha'ora olu mekan, the next paragraph, maskona b'rura v'chat mashmoy. From this there would come a conclusion and a one-sided concept or assumption. Yesh lahafik v'litros lechalutim as b'nei mishpochet zinat arubah. By looking at the story of Ezra and Nehemia, you might come to the conclusion that the solution is number one. That there is no way they're not going to convert these people, otherwise you could convert them. The only solution is separate them out from the community. Okay? Elo Shepasha Zut Kosha Amuma. This Pasha is difficult and somewhat obscure. The Domesh Lo Neshkehu Kosoch. It seems to me that it hasn't been fully investigated. We can't take it on surface. Usha'edim Mishashevet Benekal. It is not that easily. It cannot be that easily coordinated in the halacha and the kumbelis today with the halacha that we have. Yedahu ista betorah mulka manashvuda zelahav. Now, I want to save a little time, and what he does here is the following. The whole issue halachically of intermarriage and the relationship of Jews and Gentiles is somewhat obscure in the halacha, strangely enough. Nobody disagrees that it's wrong. It's wrong for a Jew to cohabitate with a Gentile, male or female, each way. No. It is wrong to intermarry. Nobody argues about that. But when it comes to putting your finger on the Sa'id and the Shulchan Aruch, it is not that simple. Now we have strange halachas. In intermarriage, which the Gemara calls derech chitul, whether the marriage is halachically valid or not is irrelevant, but it's done with derech chitul. In other words, they want marriage. They don't want znus, fornicate. They want a marital relationship. There is a machloikus. The Gemara says, loikus chatumbon. You should not intermarry with them. Even though the Kiddush is not halal, but what the Torah means, don't enter into a relationship which the world perceives as a marital relationship. There's a machloikus hatanor, whether that refers only to the Shiva Amamim, to the seven nations, or whether it refers to all Gentiles. Right? The Rambam Pasim, it refers to all Gentiles, because the Torah gives a tamah mitzvah, the sort of a reason why intermarriage is bad, because it will affect the religiosity and the spirituality of the children. So the Rambam said it's a difference whether Sheva Amim or any other way, but that was as well, it's a difference. In other words, in any intermarriage, the children will not be Jewish or will not be educated Jewish. So it affects all intermarriage. There are other Tanon, and the Rosh Pasuk is like some of the other Tanon, who hold that the specific Issa of Lotus Hatin refers only to the Sheva Amim. That doesn't mean to say that the Rosh holds you can intermarry. There are Issurim, the Rabbonon, there are other Issurim, whatever. But the specific Issa of Lotus Hatin is a Machlokus Apostolim, whether it refers to all the nations or whatever. On the other hand, we have a concept of Kanoen Togedot. What is it? The story of Pinchas. Now Pinchas, what was it? That Zimri, the Nossi of Sheva Shimon, in the story, that unfortunate story of Mikhoz Basua after Bilam, of the Bilam story, by Yeshua B'shitim, by Hila Limnos of Bilam's Mo, and he publicly fornicated with a daughter of Midian. Now Midian is not of the Sheva Amim. In fact, that was one of the nations that the Jews were ordered not to touch. Okay? So Midian, what was it? No. Midian was not one of the nations we're not to touch. I'm sorry, it was Amalim. But they certainly were not of the Sheva Amim. I'm not asking this question. So, even according to the Rambam, there's no Pergam book. So how come there's no... I mean, according to the other Pesukim who hold that Lotus Hatton is only by the... So the Mele called to the Rambam Kuma Fushdei. The Rambam held the Lotus Hatton by all of them. So this Kano Pergam was also by all of them. But according to the Rosh and the others who hold that Lotus Hatton is only of the Shem Amim, so why did Pinchas kill Zimri? Oh, so there's another thing. There's a halacha of boil aramis, kanon poimim. And according to many poskim, this is construed as a chiyuv mitzvah. In other words, if somebody brings a person to Bezin that he was a boil aramis with two eidim, you want to give mitzvah. But if a guy gets up and he kills him, he does the right thing. That's a very strange halach. Usually we have law and order, and we don't, it's not people taking the law and order on that, this is the unusual case. So it's a very strange concept. So on the one hand, you have a limited lotus pattern according to the Rosh, and yet it is quite evident that the Torah is very strongly against conjugal relations with Jews and Gentiles to the point where a person can get up like Pinchas and kill him, but who has him. Now the Shai is Bitzina, if it's done Bitzina, you cannot kill him, because there is an Indian of Kala Hashem in public, whatever. Yet, there are a number of Isurim, at least with Rabbon or whatever, that reject this kind of relationship. And he quotes the Rambam, who sort of dramatizes the qualitative issa of these interrelationships, how one violates Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of the Jew, by having intimate relations with Gentiles. Okay? So let's go down to the bottom here. Rambam Hevi Bidvora, Rokochalashitosa, the Rambam brings a raya, evidence to his shitta, Shaloka Kapshiva Ben Yehor, she is a hitminatoro in Kolo Omor, the Ezra. The Rambam brings a raya that intermarriage is also with everybody. Why? From Ezra. Sharedach in Moitin, in Mubin Lamaisa Ezra, Hadokas on Ophiyot. Why was Ezra and Nehemiah so hostile to the people that the Jews married? They didn't marry people from the Sheva Amimim. The Sheva Amimim didn't exist anymore. Umisvada lachei hachoma. And it says that the Jews confessed and the tshuva did vidui on what they did. The old Shebizmano at the time of Ezra. Zayin Amenu Kva Ovo were brought them in Aula. They didn't exist anymore. Ah. Why? Because we have the principle, the Gemara says, Bo Sancherev, who built the Kolomos. Sancherev came along and mixed up all the ethnic groups. So the Sheva Amenu didn't exist anymore. So these were some Gentiles, but not Sheva Amenu. So what Maharaj, what did Ezra make such a tumor? Women that chased away these children. Hareda Khoya Nitzlim so in the pochas, the helicon. Why did he leave the word? As many geom as he could. Ezra maske the viduyo of Isanosa. Ezra also mentions another Isra. Velo sidr shu shlomo mitavosa madaulam. But it says that by Amon Amorov, you should never search for their peace. I mean, be friendly with them. Huh? Because they didn't bring Mayan that Lechem or Ashakim Nesim or Lechem or Mayan. And in Batur of Yachas, Amin Amor. And it's Shigam Issa Zepuka before it asked Chazal. According to Chazal, that Issa is also Shigam, because there's no Amin Amor of either anymore. If we say like the Gemara, Sha'ola Sanecher of Biblical Omos, Hachesat Eifo, Macha Boise Ezra, Omecha Loisa Kolomos, Der Leusidros Schlossam mit der Wurstam was only an Amen and Moya. Now, there's no Amen and Moya. In other words, there is no specific ethnic identity left. There is no Sheva Amen, there's no Amen and Moya, nothing. So how come that Ezra Mechani says Leusidros Schlossam? Other going with the Torah doesn't say anything in Schlossam mit der Wurstam. So the whole story of Ezra, what I'm trying to say is, the whole story of Ezra is obscure. A. Why didn't he solve at least partially the problem with Georg? And B, what is the connection with Lasita Shlomos and Devosan when there's no such thing anymore? Omnam Esha, it is possible. The Parish is Divre, Haididu Shel Ezra, the Divre Tshuva. What Ezra meant was not a strict halachic interpretation. The whole Indian, the whole subject, was deeply hurtful. And she spoke in terms of tshuva, the Kali form. It doesn't really matter whether technically they broke any law, but it was so terribly un-Jewish, and he felt that they had to do tshuva for them. The parish of Divrei HaYividu Shel Ezra B'Divrei Tshuva. What Ezra meant was not a strict halachic interpretation. The whole Indian, the whole subject, was deeply hurtful. And he spoke in terms of tshuva for Klal Yisrael. It doesn't really matter whether technically they broke any law, but it was so terribly un-Jewish, and he felt that they had to do tshuva for them. Ulahadgish as Hamorosa, in order to underline the seriousness of their original transgression of intermarriage, ובכך להעמיק את משמעות איסא מעבר לתוך פעל החוסר, אולם לא נראה שאיזו הולמם למחש עתו איסא שלו ידוע מקומו, מחייב עולם את העם, ודורש על פות את עצמת הנושא ונות האוסם ושום לב קדימה. He says, but, איזו נחל did not invent new Yisur. Obviously, that resentment against intermarriage existed and preceded the period of Ezra. The stavish is a chutn holinoy, the kedemis and on the gamadas rabbona. Even according to those who hold that the law of chitun applies only to the seven nations, but obviously the resentment against intermarriage existed all the way down in Jewish history, whether it was a biblical Isra or not, but the community as such always refrained from this problem.
Of course, the fact was that until Ezra McCormick's time, there was no such thing as a mass.
There was no such mass movement. He said there was a little bit of the Mea Shoah.
So but we today, if you go back to Ezra McCormick, say it's not showing a movie.
But we see his reaction. אמנם לא מדרעייס וכדעס רב שמין יכול, אבל כתעקון וכדובה מדרעבונה. There was an old religious tradition, ולכן האום מצטרם לפעיל, that's why everybody cried, מרקים בחטא, they recognized their sin, ומקבל באופן הרגי, and they accepted impartially את הצור חייה של the need for the world. Kedusha HaGodol Shel Ezra Eina Be'etzim Isra. The Hiddush of Ezra was not the Isra itself, because the resentment against the marriage always existed. Eli Kimiro B'Shlila Efshir Tagia. The Hiddush of Ezra was that he refused conversion, the solution of conversion. The Kach Nechstamo HaDerech Osak Mahashir Esanoshi Be'ever. Because that is the way that the ever to do it, he wouldn't accept that. But Sodom Dera Chazal, Shebekuvas Mithiyomot, at certain periods of history, Nishlal Hagia Lechalut. There were times in Jewish history where, for sociological reasons, which led to halachic reasons, the Jews refused conversion altogether. And as I said, the Svadak Yimid were also historic reasons why that community refused Geros altogether. But we find in all communities, there were certain times where, for reasons that were obvious at the moment, the community, the Halacha, refused to accept Geros. Tana Rabbana, and these arrive from the Gemara. And Mekablin Geram Lemos HaMashiach. After Mashiach will come, we will not accept Geros. Kiyotzebo, similarly, lo kiblu geram lo bimei dovet v'lo bimei shlomo. Of course, the Gemara asked the Kashi Shlomo HaMelech himself his wife. It was a tremendous problem. But the Gemara holds that you do not take geram in times of dovet and shlomo. Why?
Because of the middle of the shlomo.
The middle of the shlomo, because at that time the Jews were top of the animals. And it paid to be Jewish. There were such rare moments in history where it paid to be Jewish. And the government of Shlomo was that. Of course, when Mashiach will come, once again, it will pay to be Jewish. Okay? Umar Abelos the Maitro, what's derived from a posting? Hey, Yoga Ephes, Yahosti, go in for Lecha Yifo. So Rashi says, Ni Itroban Yosefo, or Lecha Yifo, Lolomabo. Only those who are with you in your bad times, they will be with you, Lolomabo, but not the fair weather friends who come with you on top and then they will become you. Ezra, Mechas HaKudosh HaGoyim, can be asked to the Kosa. So Ezra may be looked upon his Tikkun in the same way. Av She'ena Mitzarebes LeZohar Shel Yimei Shlomo, there's no comparison to the brilliance of Jewish life in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Ezra's return was very modest and very limited, but he felt that at this time, the Jews were returning to their independence and their glory, which is very good, and therefore we don't accept there. In this topic, the Israel Agiram Shivo, and the call of the Kafka, and the notion showing the Sura is the Hidden Kafka. And the Hiddush of Ezra is twofold. A, he decided that this period doesn't accept Gera, and B, that this limit also applies only those who come to join the bandwagon, but even those who through marriage had joined the, not the bandwagon but the bottom of the barrel, they don't accept the entry. These were the two conditions of Ezra that made him want to present the judge. We'll stop here and we'll continue next time. I'll speak like that.